that your presence is here, God. We're thankful just for who you are, for how you're moving. Let your presence just fill this place, Lord. Just put your hands out to receive. Take up whatever posture you feel led to take up. Just a posture, both physically and within your heart, just to receive from the Lord in this moment. He wants to meet you. He wants to minister to you. More than any sermon, more than any song, the person of Jesus is where we find deliverance. He's where we find healing. Because of the sacrifice that he made on the cross. We're thankful, Lord, for that sacrifice. We honor you. We submit to you. Holy Spirit, just flood this room. Break down walls in people's hearts, Lord. Your word describes your presence as a consuming fire, a purifying fire. So, Lord, come right now as that fire. Lord, we know some of us in this room today, right now, need to die. And that's not the cute message that so many preachers are sharing right now. But the truth is, if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to give our lives to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we need to die to our old selves. So Lord, come as a consuming fire, a purifying fire. Come and burn away everything that is not of you, Lord. Purify us. We want to live in holiness. We want to be holy because you are holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are good, God. Apart from you, we are nothing. We can do nothing. This life is meaningless without you, Lord. And we keep going, and just like Brandon said, we're trying to search for meaning. We're trying to search for purpose in all of these different areas of life. We're trying to root our identity in all of these different things, Lord. But apart from you, it's nothing. It's all meaningless. So today, God, we choose to lay down everything that is not of you. Come like a fire, Lord. Burn everything away that is not of you. We submit to you. Come, Lord. Burn it all away. Separate the wheat from the chaff. We give ourselves to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Every other spirit, we command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. We consecrate this place. We consecrate this time to you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Every other spirit, go right now in the name of Jesus. Break down walls, Lord. Lord, just like a mighty river, come and break down the dams that we've built up around our hearts. Soften the soil, Lord. We come to you this morning, just praying for a touch from you, Jesus. We love you. We honor you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. The presence of God is strong. Would you stand up? We're going to read Psalm 1 together. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Lord, help us to love your law. Help us to love your word. Help us to love who you are and what you're calling us into, Lord. Let us be like trees planted by the rivers. Lord, cultivate your fruit within us. We want to be like you. Sanctify us, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You guys can have a seat. My name is Stone. I'm the youth pastor here at Revival. Pastor Alex could not be here today just due to some family things going on. So he texted me at about 5 o'clock last night and said, "Hey, could you have a word for tomorrow?" I said, "You know, the Lord will provide." So here we are. But it's going to be a good morning. The presence of God is already here. We're just excited for what he's doing. We're starting a new series today. It's called Sit, Stand, Walk, and it's all based around that psalm, Psalm 1. So I just want to go through a few scriptures, kind of break down Psalm 1 a little bit, and just discuss really what the Lord has been teaching me these past couple weeks. So I'm going to go ahead and read this first bit of Psalm 1 again. I'll read verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I think something we struggle with in Christianity, in our culture, is a lack of love and desire and zeal and passion for being in the Word of God, of meditating on his words, resting in his words, letting them penetrate our hearts and change who we are. We're so caught up in our identity and who we want to be that we have these walls built up that keep the Word of God from penetrating us and turning us into who's being talked about in this psalm, the blessed man. And then we think, why am I not seeing blessings? It's because we're not living how Scripture says the blessed man lives. We're not allowing the Word to penetrate our hearts. We're not delighting in the Word and in his presence. So I think our first step in changing that, in coming to God and allowing the transformation of our hearts and our minds, is being able to identify and differentiate the light from the dark. So if you go to John chapter 1, I love this passage. I've been reading this to our youth group a lot recently. But John 1, right in the beginning, it talks about the person of Jesus, and Jesus himself is that light. We can't have the light if we are separated from Jesus. It says, in the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Light and dark are not compatible. And in physics, or whatever science has to do with light. Gavin, what's the science that deals with light? Gavin's very smart. Probably physics. I was right. All right. So in physics, light casts out darkness, right? And where there is light, there cannot be darkness. But I think spiritually, what's interesting is when we allow darkness, what it does is it blocks the light. In reality, if we were in a dark room and we turned on a light, all of the darkness would go away. But what we do when we allow darkness into our hearts, it's like we're putting a shade over the light. We have the Holy Spirit in us already, so the light is within us. But when we choose to go on sinning, when we choose to live in darkness, we're putting a shade over the light so that light can't go throughout us. But it says the darkness did not comprehend the light. And what was the light? Jesus, the Word. So how do we invite Jesus into us in a way that the darkness does not comprehend? And what that is obedience and submission to him, of not allowing the darkness to come in. Because that's exactly what it is. It's a choice. So many of us get upset because we say, the devil is beating up on me. I'm surrounded by all this darkness. I don't know what to do. 99% of the time, it's because we allowed it. It's because we chose to sin. We chose to dishonor the Lord, which gives an open door to the enemy to come and bring in darkness. We are the ones that put that shade over the light so that darkness can come in. So we need to submit to the Lord today. It all starts with repentance. It all starts with understanding when we have sinned, when we have opened a door to the enemy, and choosing to turn away, choosing to turn that light back on, choosing to take the shade off of the lamp so that the light of Jesus can shine and purify not only within us, but also go out into those around us as well. Ephesians 5 is a really powerful passage that speaks to how we are to act. I love how applicable and practical many of Paul's letters are, but this chapter especially. Ephesians 5, I'll just start in verse 1. It says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." Pause. We are God's children. When we choose to accept Jesus, what happens? We are adopted into the family of God. We are now his children. That is our number one identity. If we allow anything else to alter or impact who we are or become a piece of our identity greater than being a child of God, that's our first mistake. Repent and replace whatever is at the top right now with being a child of God. And we'll touch more on that in a moment. Be imitators of God as dear children. That's how we let the light in, is imitating what the light looks like. Not living in darkness, not imitating darkness, but imitating the light. Verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, not coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." That's an intense passage. And that's one of those passages that we like to tuck away or soften in how we speak about it. But the reality is that when we choose darkness, here's something that upsets me. Something people get so upset with the concept of hell, especially non-Christians do not understand the concept of hell because they say, how could a loving God send somebody to hell? God does not send anybody to hell. You know what happens? People choose to go to hell because what the opposite of that, heaven, is with being with the Lord, being in the presence of God. So if we live our entire lives choosing sin, choosing darkness, living in darkness, then how can we be upset and yell at God when he allows us to stay in darkness for eternity? That was our choice. That's what we chose. But when we choose to live our life in the light, when we choose to repent, when we choose to stop giving the enemy a foothold, when we choose to be holy, what does holiness mean? To be holy is to be set apart. But Christians so badly want to be a part of this world. They want to try and blend in with the world as much as possible. There's this whole seeker-friendly movement where churches try to look as much like a concert or whatever else as possible, but that's not what people are hungry for. People are hungry for the true and authentic and genuine person of Jesus Christ, but you can't have that if you're still living in darkness. You can't have the light when you choose to sin over and over and over again. You can't have the light when you are in disobedience and rebellion. Choose the light. And when you choose the light, you get to live in the light forever with the Lord. But when we choose to live in darkness, and our lives are so short. Scripture talks about that all the time in the New Testament. Paul says it over and over and over again. Solomon says it in the Old Testament. Our lives are but a vapor. They're short. So why would we choose this short life? We're not willing to give things up. We're not willing to sacrifice. We're not willing to submit. We want to live these few short years how we want to live them because we want to be comfortable, but we don't understand that these few years, these whatever, 80 years, whatever it is, maybe less than that, maybe more than that, we don't understand that this short amount of time has eternal consequences. And then people want to get upset at God. How prideful is that? How arrogant is that? That we want to get upset at God for sending us where we chose to go. We get upset at God for allowing us to live where we want to be. He gave us free will. That's what a loving God looks like. So how can we get mad at him when he just does what we want? Well, that's not true. But he sends us where we choose to go. I'm getting heart rate alerts on my watch. Whew. Pastor Alex said, don't go over 40 minutes. I'm going to try my best. Well, we'll see, dude. Thanks, Nate. What passage was I reading? Ephesians 5. Back to verse 8, let's say. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. I was talking with Pastor Andrew this past week, and he was sharing with me a sermon that he was listening to, and what the preacher was saying was, we love to identify with this idea that we are sinners saved by grace. And what he was saying is that that's really not true of Christians. We were sinners, and then we were saved by grace, and now we're the saints. So why are we identifying with the sinner when Jesus died to let us live as saints? Oh, dear, is right. That's awesome. That's amazing. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. We have to search. That's why we have to meditate on the Word. That's why we have to love the Word. That's why we have to love His presence. That's why we have to have an open heart to what the Spirit is trying to do, because we have to find out what His will is. Scripture, even Ephesians, should I go there? No, I won't read it, but Ephesians talks a lot about the mystery. And Paul writes that, the Lord does nothing without first revealing it to the prophets. So we get confused, saying, God, where are you? What are you doing? What's your plan? We have to find out. Because we're the prophets, we're the saints. He speaks to us, but we have to be willing to listen to him. Even today, people were like, are you okay to like preach in like 12 hours notice? Yes, because here is what every single Christian should be living like. We should constantly, at all times, be listening to God and have a testimony of what he's doing in our lives right now. If someone comes up to you, believer or non-believer, and says, what has God been speaking to you? And you say, I don't know. That's a problem. That is an issue. You should know at all times what God is speaking to you because we're called to be in constant communion with him. So if we find ourselves not knowing what God is speaking, or if we find ourselves not knowing how he's moving or what he's trying to do in our lives, that's a massive red flag that we need to pause, we need to repent, and we need to go back and say, what was the last, Pastor Alex has said this before, we need to go back and say, what was the last thing that God told me to do? What was the last thing that I heard from God? And what's most likely is that the reason you haven't heard from him since is because you didn't do what he already told you to do. We get frustrated and say, God, why aren't you speaking? And he's saying, I'm not speaking because you didn't do what I already told you to do. I spoke and you didn't hold up your end. So it's your turn now to go and do what I called you to do. So we need to be in this constant communication with God of him speaking to us sitting in his presence, being open to hear from him, and then not just hear from him, but then go and do what he tells us to do. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I'll let that speak for itself. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We're asleep. We need the Lord's light to come and wake us up. Actually, I take that back. It says, wake up, and then Christ will give you light. So we need to figure out where we went wrong. We need to figure out, go repent, and then we will receive the light of Christ. So especially for anyone in this room right now who has not given your life to Christ, who has not been baptized, who has not made that decision, if you're wondering, why is everything around me so dark all the time? It's because you need to wake up first before you can live in the light. You need to choose repentance. You need to choose the light who is the person of Jesus, and then you will receive the Holy Spirit who will light you up, and you won't be asleep anymore. You won't be surrounded in darkness anymore. Choose him. And at the end of service, we'll have our ministry team up. If you need to come up, whether you haven't made that decision and you want to come and make that choice to give your life to Jesus and receive the light and live in light and cast the darkness out of your life, you can do that. Or even if you are a Christian and you're saying, why am I still stuck in darkness? I have received Jesus. I have received the Holy Spirit. Why am I still in darkness? Probably because you've been living in sin and you need to repent. So you can come up today and repent as well when we have our ministry team up at the end of service. I better get out of Ephesians. Let's go to Hebrews 12. So along with this idea of repentance, there's a shaking that takes place. And when we're not in a state of repentance, when we are choosing to live in the darkness, what happens is we are vulnerable to the shaking that takes place. And there's shaking that happens from God, and there's shaking that happens from the enemy. But I want to read in Hebrews 12, starting in verse 25. It says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. We just talked about that. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. If you feel that you're being shaken and that is bothersome to you, if that's causing major life issues, that's probably an indicator that there are things in your life that need to be shaken off. The Bible talks a lot about trees and relates us to trees and says, it talks about fruit. And if we, as Christians, are trees, what is the good fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. What is the rotten or not good fruit? It's the works of the flesh. So if we're a tree and we're being shaken, what falls off trees easier? The rotten fruit, right? So maybe the reason you feel your life being shaken up right now is because God's trying to get rid of some rotten fruit. Maybe if our trees were full of good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, maybe we wouldn't be experiencing the shaking. Or maybe we would be experiencing the shaking, but it wouldn't be having such a negative impact on our lives because the fruit that we have, the things that we're holding on to, the things we're producing, the things that God is doing in us remain firm, remain planted because it's what's meant to stay. So going back to Psalm 1, it says that. The blessed man, what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And the Lord gives the water. Jesus is the living water. It says that in John 4. And when we drink of the living water, we won't thirst for the water of the world. So as a tree, when we're planted by the rivers of water, our roots get to soak up that living water. And what comes from that? It says, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. I was reading that last night, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, trees are supposed to produce fruit in its season. It says it brings forth its fruit in its season. So we're all called, we're all created to produce a certain type of fruit, and there are certain seasons when it makes sense for trees to produce fruit. But then what does it say? Whose leaf also shall not wither. That doesn't make sense. Because in certain seasons, trees die. Trees lose their leaves, lose their fruit. But when we have the living water, when we're planted by the living water, when we have the light of the Lord within us, it produces a fruit, it produces a leaf that will not wither, that will not die away. So if you're experiencing withering, if you're experiencing a death in your life, ask the question first, is this something that needs to die? But then also ask the question, am I planted by the living water? Worship team, you guys can come up. We'll jump over to Ezekiel 37 for just a second. Maybe. So there's a shaking that takes place that may be hard, that may be painful. And then what is the aftermath of that? We may feel dejected. We may feel depleted. We may feel like just a pile of rubble. We might feel like there's nothing left, like there's no hope. But then what happens? Ezekiel 37, starting in verse 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you've been shaken. Maybe you've been sifted by the enemy. And maybe you feel like just a pile of bones with no life left. You may feel like there's no hope. There's nowhere for you to go. So I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Again, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you.'" Read Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, the account of God creating man. What does he do? He breathes the breath of life into man. And the same word that's used to describe the breath, it's ruach in the Hebrew. It's the same word that's translated as spirit, the Holy Spirit. What does the Lord do when we give our lives to him? He breathes the Holy Spirit into us. Our old lives die, and they're left as the pile of bones. But then he breathes new life into us. He breathes the Holy Spirit into us. And then what happens? "I'll cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with the skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Maybe you're halfway today. Maybe you think you made it part of the way. You made the first step, but you're saying there's still no life. There's still no fruit. I don't see what God's trying to do. There's still more coming. He's still breathing into you. He said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." God wants to create an army. God's not here to build congregations. God's not here to build groups of people that sit and watch something on a screen. God's not here to build groups of people that just sit in their chairs and don't say amen or clap. God isn't here to build phony churches. God's not here to bring up preachers and prophets and people who are living in darkness. God came to build an army, and that's who you're supposed to be. God's trying to create you as a warrior. He's saying, "Let the old life die. Let the bones be bones, and I'm bringing you to new life as a warrior for the kingdom of heaven." We're called to be an exceedingly great army for the kingdom of heaven. And it says, verse 11, he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, 'Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel.'" God is bringing us into a promised land. He's bringing us into new life, but we have to choose to be planted by the living water. We have to choose to say to him, "God, you are my Father. Father, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. I choose to submit to you. I choose to die to the old self." And what happens? There's one version of shaking that's hard and difficult and it breaks us down. But there's another version of shaking. It's the rattling of God, that he's bringing something new together. He's bringing new life, and he wants to bring new life in this room right now. So church, stand up. He wants to bring new life to you right now. He wants to tell these dry bones to come to life, because he's sick of having a dead church. He's sick of the church in America being dead and lifeless. He's sick of God's people neutering the word of God and taking away its power. He's saying, preach the word of God. Preach in spirit and in truth. Worship me in spirit and in truth. Submit to me. Die to your old selves and be brought to new life in the person of Jesus. Let's worship, church.